How many of you are on Facebook? Show of hands, you're on Facebook? All right, you can friend me if we're not friends yet. My friend list is growing day by day. It reminds me of how popular I'm not. Facebook, however, also reminds me every day of things in my past. Does Facebook ever remind you of your memories? It's kind of this neat feature that it's got on there. If you, like, the first time you log on in the morning or whenever you log on during the day, it's like the first thing it shows you is, hey, check out your memories. Look, this is what happened a year ago. You guys know what I'm talking about? Like, this is a new thing that it's doing. And it's really cool because Facebook is telling us time is passing. Right? Time is passing. This isn't a revelation here. You know, I see memories of my past, of past trips we've taken, of adventures we've experienced. I see memories of how I used to look. Darn you, Facebook. But the amazing thing that I think that Facebook shows me is how much my kids have grown. It's incredible to see. Like today, I just saw, so you can go back a year, and I see a year ago, Adelie had her 9-month checkup. No, 2 years ago, it was like her 9-month checkup. And I was like, what? This is crazy. This girl has grown so much. And then it says 7 years ago, and I watched this flip phone, all fuzzy video of me pulling my daughter Karis in a little red wagon. And I'm like, how was it that 7 years ago she was just a tiny little baby, cute and cuddly and adorable and just pinch her cheeks. And now I dropped off a 7-year-old little girl, almost like 7 gone on 17, to second grade this morning, and she walked herself into school. She had her backpack on. She was, you know, congregating with her friends on the way in. I mean, she's a little human. She's grown so much. Have you experienced that with your kids? I know, Eric, man, I just preached to you tonight, man. It's crazy. Like, our kids grow up so fast. Those of you who are older, you see the time passes by and by and by, over and over and over. And that's the thing. Kids grow up, right? We take note of these moments in our child's lives, like their first, their first words. Kara says was dada. You know, fills us with pride and joy, right? We take note of these moments, like their first tooth. And you, Jamie, you know what I'm talking about, man. It wasn't too long ago for you. Like, we take note of these things, man, their first steps, right? But, like, what about their 100th step? Like, we don't forget about that. The first step is all good. But they grow. Like, they're supposed to grow. It's a natural thing, isn't it? Growth is a natural process. Could you imagine, just go with me in the theater of your mind, what life would be like if we didn't grow up? Like, if we aged, but we didn't grow up. You understand what I'm saying? Like, when you're 36, like me, you still do the things you did as a baby or as a toddler? I mean, how ridiculous would that be? Can you see it? Like, you know how your kids are and the things that they do or what they've done, or you've seen other people's kids do certain things. And what if it was you? I mean, this is like crazy hyperbole here. Exaggeration, right? But what if? What if you wake up in the morning, you get ready, you start to get ready for work, and you go and you reach into your underwear drawer, and instead of pulling out a pair of underwear, you pull out a nice, lovely diaper. And then you like you're gonna put your diaper on. Like a little bit of baby, right? Or this could be a pull up. It's okay if I preach in a diaper tonight. I promise you an unforgettable sermon. And do you guys remember that time that Nate preached in a diaper? Yeah, this just happened. Looks good, right? Does it fit well? Could you imagine though, like if we everybody's got their phones out, okay, Snapchat that. I'll see this on Facebook tomorrow. remember when? 6 hours ago when you wore a diaper in front of a bunch of people and on live streaming. That would look pretty stupid, right? Like if we all came in here and everybody was wearing their diapers and we were going, goo, goo, gaga, dad, dad, feed me, hold me. It would be ridiculous, right? Look pretty stupid, right? Or like you go to work and it's your lunch break, but your mom shows up and somehow your mom grew up, but you didn't grow up, and she shows up with a little jar of baby food, and she's like, okay, it's time for lunch. Here you go, little Maddie. Here you go. Here comes the airplane. My diaper's falling off. It would be ridiculous, right? We all know that. We all know that. This is an exaggeration. We all know that it would be ridiculous for grown adults to wear baby diapers and eat baby food, right? Because it's a natural process of growing up. But did you know that there is a difference between growing old and growing up? A lot of people grow older in age without maturing, right? A lot of people get older and they grow older in age, because I know a lot of adults that are just like, you know, pouty little crying babies. You don't get your way, so what do? We pout.
They didn't sing my song tonight. I couldn't worship the Lord because all they sang was hallelujah, and I wanted a song with a bunch of words.
We grown people, they get these pouty moments, they throw their tantrums. I wanted that toy! I wanted that car! That car disappointed me! All the veracity of that car. Disappointed me and let me down! They're just big babies, right? Just a bunch of people, and even though they're not necessarily like big babies, they behave like big babies because they've grown older, but they haven't grown up. They haven't grown up. And the thing about it is, just as we should grow up in our maturity, just as like human beings and adulting, right? We have these kidults in this day and time, you know, 35-year-olds living in their parents' basement because they grew older, but they didn't grow in maturity. So they're still playing their video games, still mooching off of mom and dad, but they should be functioning in society, right? Now, this isn't, you know, a message harping on people who haven't grown in maturity. What I really want to talk to you about tonight is just as we should grow in maturity as adults, we should grow in maturity as spiritual beings. Grow in our spiritual maturity, shouldn't we? Yet we have so many believers, so many Christians, people who have walked with the Lord for ages and ages and ages, people who've known the Lord for 20 years. I'm going to take this off in a second, but I'm wearing it this long to etch this in your memory. We have Christians who are just big babies. Now I get it, man. You should be like when you first get saved. You know, it's a process, like you're a baby in the Lord, a baby, you know, a baby in Jesus. But as you mature, as you should mature, you don't just get older in your relationship. You don't just have, you know, 20 years in your relationship with Jesus under your belt, but you should have 20 years of spiritual maturity and growth. You should be growing up. We don't start out full grown when we just get born again. It's a process, right? We got to grow. But we have these big spiritual babies. We pout when, you know, somebody looks at us wrong. The pastor didn't speak to me right at the door, so I'm never coming back to that church. We get offended when somebody says something cross to us or just didn't say what we wanted them to say, or a message just, you know, somebody wears a diaper in church and we get offended. And we say, I'm never coming back there again, because you're a big baby. Look at your neighbor and say, grow up. I know you've been wanting to tell them that for a long time. Just tell them, just in all sincerity and honesty and like humility, just tell them again, say, grow up. Grow up. Grow up. All right, I'm gonna take the diaper off so everybody can stop making fun of me. Because it's time to grow up. Like, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but now that I've grown and matured spiritually, things are different. I don't have to wear the diapers anymore, right? I am fully spiritually potty trained. I don't know what that means, but But it is a glorious moment in a parent's life when their child is potty trained. When you don't have to do it all for them. But so many believers, we want everybody to do it for us, don't we? We want to come to church and, you know, the pastor, he's got to cut up my food. He's got to serve it to me on a silver platter. He's got to put it in my mouth. Like, here's the word of God for you today, little Susie. Here's the word of God. Chew it up. It's yummy. We expect this when we come to church, and we expect this is how we're going to grow spiritually. But have you ever thought that God desires for you to grow up? God's desire is for you to grow, to change, to develop, to mature. So that when you come to church on Sunday, it's just a spiritual buffet, but you're not filling up for the rest of the week. You get just a great meal cooked by a master chef. But when you can be a home chef, you can cook on your own. In fact, if we likened the way we maintain our physical bodies to the way we should mature spiritually, we would see some very similar things. Like, just like you should eat every day. And some would tell us you need to eat 6 times a day. Like the trainers, that's what they say. But yet we go weeks, sometimes weeks, some of us, without eating a meal from the diet of God's Word. Like, literally, like if people, they only come to church twice a month and they don't do anything else on their own because they haven't grown up, they are in famine. They are spiritually starving themselves to death. Crazy, right? So how do you grow up physically? How do you have a healthy body? Just, you know, what are some thoughts for you? How do you have a healthy body? Exercise. Okay. What else? Eat right. Drink water. Sleep. I mean, these are all good things, and that's my notes. That's my message. We can go home. Those are great things. Those are things that we need to do, right? We need to eat right. If we want to grow up physically, we need to eat right. As parents, we feed our children a certain amount of things, and we don't let them eat McDonald's every single day because we all know that's not good for them. A Happy Meal every once in a while, it's okay. Eric, it's all right, man. Take them to McDonald's, it's okay. But like we want to know that they're having a healthy diet, right? So it seems elementary tonight to be talking about this, but let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 because we all need to grow. And I'll tell you this, no matter where you are in your relationship with God, you can grow up. You can grow up. You can grow further. You can grow farther. You can grow up. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So, first of all, let's look at the first part. Therefore, laying aside. There's some things that you got to put aside. These things were for babies. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking. Those things were like for baby Christians. They didn't know that they were renewed. They didn't know about the righteousness of God. They didn't know how good God was, and that they didn't know they could put those things aside. But you lay aside all those things. And then he says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word so that you may do what? So you may grow. In order for babies to grow, they need what? They need food. They need milk. You can't grow up without food. You can't survive long without it. You remember the food pyramid? It's like the one with the four food groups and all that good stuff. Just as your body needs food to grow, your spirit needs food to grow as well. A healthy diet of God's Word. Not a bowl of Wheaties. Not Twinkies. Not French fries. You need a healthy diet of God's Word. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, it's written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. As I said earlier, many Christians were spiritually weak because they haven't been feeding on God's Word. What happens if you go a day without food? You might be okay. You know, you could fast for a day. You might survive. What happens if you go a week without food? Or a month without food? What happens? You won't be alive long. Well, spiritually speaking, we have Christians that are lacking spiritual vitality in life because they've gone without food, spiritual food. They haven't fed themselves on God's Word in a long time. Isn't that true? So let me get real practical with you tonight. So when you come to church, you hear God's Word, you're energized, you're full of passion and zeal and life, and that's how it should be when you go to church. You should leave there better than when you came in. You should leave feeling more full. You should feel like, man, that was a delicious meal. Just like you left a five-star restaurant. That was an amazing meal that I just had. And you should want to tell all your friends about where you just came from. Man, have you been over to Frog Hollow? That place was delicious. Have you been over to Good News Church? Man, they serve up a delicious pot of Word there. So you feel like when you leave, you feel like you've got this fuel that would just last you all week long. But then the next day, like your passion starts to wane a little bit because it's, after all, it's Monday. Everybody knows what happens on Monday. Okay. Maybe you don't know what happens on Monday. But like your passion starts to wane a little bit. You go to work. You got to crunch the time clock, you know. And then one of your coworkers cusses you out and you're finding it very hard to show them the love of Christ when you want to show them the finger. Like, that's what happens when Susie comes to my office. I'm just kidding. Totally kidding. And cusses me out on Monday.
Yeah.
Or Thursday, as it were, after I preach this message tonight. How dare you wear a diaper, you blippity blip. Okay. But so Monday comes, then Tuesday, the next day it gets even weaker, and then for those who don't come to Midweek Boost, we'll preach to them for a second. You skip Midweek Boost, and it gets even weaker and weaker and weaker, and your passion for God is starting to wane, and then, you know, and then it's, you know, the summer's almost fully over, so I got to skip church on Sunday because I got to go to the lake one last time before the water gets too cold. And so I'm going to skip out on that, and then before you know it, I've gone a whole full whopping 2 weeks before I'm like, oh man, life sucks right now. My kids are getting on my nerves. You know, my coworkers are at me. And man, not to mention this financial crisis we found ourselves in, this bill that showed up in the mail, not to mention I can't pay my power bill. And man, I can't even get gas to make it to my job. You know, and so all these things start to happen. So you're like, well, I better go to church because I know that God's going to help me. When we finally find ourselves at the end of our rope. But 2 weeks ago, we heard this amazing sermon. And 2 weeks ago, we had this great time in the presence of God. 2 weeks ago, we filled ourselves to the full of Him. Yet we just let it die because we didn't continue to realize that we're no longer spiritual babies anymore. That we're mature believers. And mature, just as babies, as they get older, they should learn to take the spork. Not a spoon or a fork. It's the spork. They take the spork and they're able to scoop up their own green beans and chicken. And just like that, you and I, as mature believers that we should be able to feed ourselves on the Word of God. How do you do it? Well, do you eat every day? Well, read God's Word every day. Here's some simple things. Put Bible verses around your house. Write them in your notebooks. Write them on little cards and carry them around your pocket. Talk about them with your friends. Read your Bible before you go to bed. Like, you're already on your phone. Like, go ahead and download the Bible app. You know? Let it read to you. Listen to the podcasts of the messages. Use the technology that we have available to us. If you're going to grow as a Christian, you have to feed yourself God's Word. I know this is very basic, but it bears repeating. You have to do it yourself. DIY. To grow up, you got to do it yourself. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then Proverbs 4, verse 20, it says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those who find them and help to all their flesh. Do you realize how important the Word of God is? Life, health, vitality, all of this available in the Word of God. And yet so many times we just go through our day just pouring in just mindless, mind-numbing garbage, letting it rush over our minds, not realizing that it's potentially undoing everything we just heard on a Sunday morning. Because we haven't allowed the Word of God to take root and renovate and renew our minds so much to the fact that we're just allowing other things to creep right in. It said, don't let these words depart from your eyes. That's strong language. Don't let them depart from your eyes. But what do? Monday morning, go into work. Somebody cusses me out or, you know, whatever. Be angry and don't sin. But that's long gone because I'm angered. And here comes the sin. Oh, we're going out back. You and me. Well, talk to me that way, buddy. Tired of you talking to me. All these co-worker things. I promise you, that's not how it is around here. Good News Church. It may be like that in your world, though. No amens on that. So, in light of these scriptures, you would think it's important to memorize God's word, right? Psalm 119:11. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Don't let them depart from your eyes. So, you know, constantly meditating, feeding on the word of God, just like a cow, you know, regurgitates the cud and chews on it over and over and over and over. We should be doing that with the scripture, but that's not just enough, because the word that you heard, the word that you memorized when you were a teenager, is not enough to sustain you today. Let me put it this way. It never did a hungry person any good to think about what a potato tastes like. Like, not even if that person can remember the taste perfectly. Oh, man. Potato has this kind of starchy taste, and, you know, if you put the butter and the sour cream and the cheese, yeah, I can remember what it tastes like now. But am I getting full? Am I getting satisfied with anything? No, even if you can remember it perfectly, that's the thing about the Word of God. It's important to keep it in memory, but it's also necessary to go directly to it and feed your spirit with it. There's power in keeping the Word in front of your eyes and keeping it in your mouth and having it going into your ears, because that's how it gets into your heart. And once it gets into your heart, it begins to come out of your mouth, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So some practical tips here to feeding yourself the Word. Something I learned, you know, a couple years ago is I found myself as a pastor being inconsistent with my Bible reading. I wouldn't feed on the Word of God every day, and I'd find myself being irritable or overly sarcastic or, you know, short with my family. And because I was letting some things die in my life, you know, I wasn't feeding myself on the Word of God on a regular basis. Yeah, I would get in the kitchen and I would go in there and I'd grab this great delicious stuff, chop it up real nice and serve it to you on a silver platter. But I wasn't being consistent with feeding myself. And that happens for a lot of ministers. We study to preach, but don't study to eat. And so I found that was the case for me. And I found myself in a situation where I really desperately needed the life of the Word of God. Something that would sustain me, that would carry me, that would hold me up. Something that would provide life for me. And so I decided that year I'm going to get consistent. So here are some things I learned. Number one, do it at the same time every day. Some of you are creatures of habit. This will work for you. Some of you, this may not work. If it doesn't work for you, throw it out. This isn't Bible. This is just tips from, in my opinion. So if you do it at the same time every day, consistency is going to help you form a habit. And studies would show you that if you do something consistently for 21 days in a row, then you've created a habit. So commit to doing it for at least 3 weeks. Like I'm going to do it for 3 weeks. Set an alarm on your phone if you need to. Put a reminder, say, read your Bible. Matter of fact, if you have a smartphone and you have the Bible app on there, you can you know, they have reading plans. They have all kinds of great stuff in there. But you can actually set it to notify you or remind you. Number one, you can set it to just remind you about the verse of the day. 10:30 every morning, the verse of the day pops up on my screen. Don't let it depart from your eyes. It pops up right there. It's innate. It's built in there. All right, for some variety, read some faith-filled books. We've got some great recommendations on our website, and if you need other recommendations, we'll happily do that for you. You can use a daily devotional to help guide you. A lot of times, everybody knows what a daily devotional is. All right, again, this is elementary, but here's one. Review sermon notes. But in order to review sermon notes, you have to have taken sermon notes. So rewind a little bit. Take notes so you can review them. I take notes every time somebody's preaching. Every time I go down there, I'm like John Tallman here with his notebook, man. He's writing down everything I say. Your pen's not moving, dude. Okay, just kidding. It's a great habit. It's a great habit to get into because some people, your auditory, that's not the right word. Yeah, auditory learners. Others are visual learners. And so when you hear and you write it down, for me, it helps me remember things. And it's a great habit to get into. I've been doing it ever since I was a teenager. And I've got notebooks and notebooks filled with sermon notes. I re-preached some of those sermon notes that I took when I was a teenager to you. And you would never know it because I made it my own. Review sermon notes. Here's another idea. Read through the New Testament. Just do it one chapter a day. You can do a chapter. One chapter. And read through the New Testament. Start with the book of John. And then listen on the inside that God speaking to you through His Word. Because you'll find as you read the Word of God that there will be parts of it that will jump off the page to you. Parts of it that will seem to come alive for you. Something that will speak directly to you. Something I found myself during that time where I was really getting consistent and have developed that habit in my life where every day it was something different. And it was exactly what I needed for that day. We call it a rhema word. Exactly what you need at the moment you need it. It's direct from the Word of God. So eat right. Eat right. Do it yourself. And then exercise. Here's a good one. Another part of growing up is taking steps, right? We count our baby steps. You don't start out running a marathon. It's more like a roll or then a crawl. And then, you know, you start to pull up and then walking and so on. If you eat right, but you never move, you'll become sumo baby. You'll be massive because you're not getting any exercise. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So two key words here are use and exercise. If you want to grow, you're going to have to use and exercise what you're feeding on, what you're hearing. We need to do more than eat. We need to use what we eat. Just like physical food is fuel for our bodies, the Word of God is fuel for our faith. And it should fuel us to exercise our faith, to take steps of faith, to do radical things for the kingdom. If we're not using and exercising the Word of God, then we become spiritually obese. And I believe we've got a lot of spiritually overweight Christians because they feed themselves and get puffed up on knowledge. This was the Pharisees. If we could see their spiritual formation, it would be they're completely huge, overweight, fat, obese spiritually. Because they had it memorized. They were puffed up with knowledge, swollen up with knowledge, but they didn't exercise it. They didn't put it into practice. James warns against that, and he says, you know, be doers of the word, right? Not just hearers, but be doers of the word. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other, or in one ear so you can be the best at, you know, Bible trivia night. No. Let it go in your ears, in your heart, out of your mouth. Exercise it. Do something with it. Read the Word of God and then ask myself, how can I apply this to my life? Do what you read and then do it again. and do it again and do it again and do it again, because exercise is repetition, right? You just get in the gym. Pastor talked about this on Sunday. You get in the gym. If I were to go in the gym and put 200 pounds on the bar and sit on the bench and just pump one, you know, a 200 pound and walk out, whew, that was a good workout today. No, I didn't do any reps. I did one. And technically one rep, it couldn't be called a rep because there's no repetition. I did one move. I pushed. That's it. But then not just over and over and over, but if I were to go in the gym one day and do a bunch of reps on one solitary day and walked out and expect transformation, that's foolishness. I have to go over and over and over. If I truly want to change, if I truly want to transform, if I truly want to grow, if I want my muscles to grow, if I want my body to grow in a good way, not just one part of my body, but like the muscular part of my body, I got to do it over and over and over. And so it's just like, you know, be exercising in the word, in the word, in the spirit is just like physical exercise. In the same way, you have to do it over and over and over. You have to put in the time. You know, Eric, you've been going to the gym, like, you've been getting it in, right? I see his Snapchats, he's got gains going on, like, all the time. But it's always like at 11 o'clock or midnight because it's a 24-hour gym. And you got to, like, you're working for something. You're working to get healthy, to get fit, to you know, look good for your wife. Maybe. Like, and no matter what's going on around, he's making time for it. Well, let's look at 1 Timothy 4. Beginning with verse 7 in the Message, it says, stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. Everybody say that. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You can count on this. Take it to heart. This is why we've thrown ourselves into this venture so totally. We're banking on the living God, Savior of all men and women, especially believers. Listen to the terminology there. Listen to this paraphrase. This is why we've thrown ourselves into this venture so totally. Could you say that with all honesty about your relationship with God and your faith? Like, we just, I mean, we'll give Jesus some time if we have time. You know, after this season of whatever show is over, then I'll, you know, start my Bible reading and exercising. Then I'll go out on outreach and witness to people. Then I'll share my faith with my coworkers instead of whatever. He says, we're banking on the living God. Are you banking on Him? Are you? And the way I read it, to bank on someone is like Eddie was talking about in the offering. Put your complete trust and reliance. And there is no plan B. There's no fallback. There's no me trying to figure it out on my own. Because so many times when we find ourselves in an uncomfortable situation, we find ourselves in a trial, a situation that's beyond our control, we begin to think about, how can I get myself out of this jam? And then we start working about, okay, I can call my mom because I know she's got some money in the bank, or I can call so-and-so and they'll loan me a little bit. And we start to rationalize these things, like, how can we do it? But that doesn't communicate banking on the living God. That doesn't communicate throwing myself totally into that venture. I'm trying to monkey around and make a way myself. Have you ever been there? And then when it doesn't work out, then I just kind of, you know, fall on the altar here and start bawling my eyes out. God, I'm sorry. I tried to do it on my own when I should have just trusted you. And he had a way, probably the first time, if I would have asked him. But I wasted time, I wasted energy, I wasted blood, sweat, and tears, I wasted other people's time because I didn't bank on him. You guys ready to get rid of your spiritual huggies? Spiritual pampers, going to, you know, throw them by the wayside. Let's throw ourselves totally into this venture. And here's the deal. Like when you try to exercise the Word of God, and I hope you're following the analogy here. When you try to do that, when you try to take steps of faith, you try to step out into the realm of the unknown, sometimes you'll make mistakes. Sometimes you'll fall down. Sometimes you won't get it right. But guess what? Just like, you know, Kristen and I, when Karis and Allie were first making their first steps and they fell down, we didn't come running to them and be like, "How dare you? You're not doing it hard enough." We didn't go all drill instructor on them. You just go over there and you scoop them back up. "Oh, you did great. That's a great thing. That's a wonderful job. And keep going. You can do it." There's an encouragement. Just like that, if we do that for our kids, how much more is God going to do that when we step out on His Word? Yeah, we may make mistakes. Yeah, we may fall down. But guess what? He's going to be right there to pick us up. He'll say, "Hey, you got this. You got this. Let me help you. Hey, why don't you hold my hands? Let's practice this way." And holding on to Him, we'll get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, and we'll continue to step out. We'll continue to do more things for the glory of God and building His kingdom. And there'll be no shame in it because we messed up. We won't allow the enemy to shame us or condemn us. We'll say, "God, I'm reaching out to Your hand. You help me along." God doesn't get mad at you when you mess up. He'll help you get back up and try again. And then get some rest. Healthy growth requires sleep. Amen? Like, naturally speaking and spiritually speaking, resting in God. We heard a great message from Harry earlier this summer about disciples' rest. Go back and listen to that. It's a great, great message. And so many times we don't take the time to rest in God. I saw this on social media or whatever. I think Judah Smith posted it. Like I said, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. And I was like, "All right, I'll show this to my boss and get one in real quick." But you know what happens when you rest, though? It's not just that your body recharges and resets and all that kind of stuff. But when you're resting, it's another way of communicating that I'm trusting in God. Because so many times we spend these sleepless nights, again, worrying about what's going on, how we're going to make it. But when we rest, when we truly rest in Him, it's like Jesus falling asleep on the boat. In the midst of the storm, He can sleep, He can rest, because His trust isn't in those outside circumstances. He trusts in the Word of God that He's fed on, that He's fed Himself on, and cultivated His relationship with the Father so He could grow. He trusts in that so He can rest. And then He grows. And so you don't get discouraged tonight. Let me tell you something about growing up. It takes time. It's a process. Just like you can't walk into the gym 50 pounds overweight and walk out, you know, a picture of health in one day. It takes time to grow. We have a growth chart at our house for our kids. How many of you had that when you were growing up, or your parents did for you, or you had that for your kids? We have this growth chart where we write, you know, the line and put their initials and the date and all that kind of stuff, because we want to keep track of how they grow. So recently, Karis and I were going on a daddy-daughter adventure to Six Flags. So I look up on the website, how tall do you have to be to ride these rides? Because it would be a waste of my time if I went there and couldn't ride a bunch of rides. I got to ride all these kiddie rides. So, selfish dad. I need to grow up a little bit. I need to get rid of this selfishness. So I look up on there and I see you have to be 54 inches to ride everything possible at Six Flags. So I'm like, "Karis, come here. Get in the growth chart. Get out the tape measure. 53 inches. All right?" And like, so I tell her, you know, "Karis, we're going, and you have to be 54 inches to ride. It's kind of setting her up for, like, there's so many that you can ride, but there's some that you won't get to. And she's like, Dad, with, like, all seriousness in her face and her voice and everything, I'm going to grow an inch by next week. And not, she wasn't just telling me, she was telling everybody, we're going to Six Flags next week, and I'm going to grow an inch because I got to be 54 inches. And I just, you know, I let her believe the lie. But here's the thing. Like, every day she wanted me to measure her. Every day. Dad, let's do the growth chart. I'm like, okay, let's do it. Nope, you're not 54 yet. You know, she walks away sad. That's okay, I'll do it tomorrow. Next day, hey, Dad, measure me. Get up to the 50, the thing. Where's it? Nope, 53. Still 53. Keeps going. The day we get up to go to Six Flags, Dad, measure me today. Measure, not quite 54 inches. Now, kid you not, we go to Six Flags. You know, she can ride most of the rides. Like, we still had a great time. But we get up to one of the things where they have the little chart, right? I knew she wasn't going to be tall enough. But she was adamant. Dad, let's go up to this thing and let them measure me. She goes up there and I'm like, okay, let's try it. And she goes up there and she's all, you know, standing up on her tiptoes and like trying to do it. I'm like, okay, stand flat-footed. No, she didn't make it. So we couldn't ride the Superman. Ruined my trip. She didn't grow an inch in 1 week. But I can tell you what, she has grown an inch in several months. Because they do that. They grow. It just takes time. It's a process. And sometimes you can't see the growth yourself. But that doesn't mean you aren't growing. You know, ask some other people in your life. Hey, how have I grown this year? Can you see any growth? And trust that they would be honest enough to tell you. Ask yourself some questions. Have I become stagnant? Am I in the same position this year as I was in last year? If difficulties had arrived this past year, did I face them in the same way? Or was my approach different? Did I buckle under the pressure or did I rise to the occasion? Let me end with this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter writes, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." Keep on growing. We never arrive as believers to grow. We got to feed on God's Word. We got to eat right. We got to exercise and use the Word that we've been hearing. We got to get some rest. We got to realize it's going to take a little time. It's a process. But I want to tell you, Good News Church, that it's time for a growth spurt. Can you believe for that with me? It's time for a growth spurt. There are seasons in life where you just like, you know things are changing. You know things are growing, and it's time. It's a season for a growth spurt within our church, within you, within each individual that calls Good News Church their home. It's time for a growth spurt. Look at your neighbor and tell them, it's time for a growth spurt. It's time for a growth spurt. Would you stand to your feet and I'll pray for us? God in heaven, I thank you. Thank you for this word tonight, that we would all grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we recognize that tonight, as we enter into this season, as we talked about growing together on Sunday, that it is time for a growth spurt. That we're going to experience supernatural growth. People will never be the same. They'll be different as a result of what they see, hear, and experience here, and what they put into practice in their daily lives. Father, I speak a blessing over the congregation tonight, that what they've heard today will not just be something that goes in one ear and out the other, but they'll be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And they'll reap the benefits. They'll see results in their lives as they put these things into practice. It's time for a growth spurt. It's time for a growth spurt. We thank you for it. We believe it. We receive it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be blessed.